jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from, this is it, the simplicity that is in Christ. Tonight, I want to talk about simplicity, and I want to direct the conversation toward prayer, because this is our Wednesday night prayer meeting. And the Lord showed me some things that I have I've started to make not simple. And I believe if we get simple, Lord can do something with this. But let's pray. Father, I just thank you for, I thank you for Brother Park and his willingness just to be obedient to the things that you've called him to do. And then the glorious results and the fruit that you've shown from his work, Lord. I just pray that that he gets all the support that he needs financially, and that he can get back to the field in Korea, and that every one of those prayers that he is praying now for his ministry, that you would open that wide and bless that man and that work there. And we'd love to see that really, really, really prosper, Lord. I pray tonight that you would allow me, Lord, to give these folks the things that you've given me today. And Father, just pray that we could really, really get something out of this that would bless us and help us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. No, tonight's subject is prayer. And I believe that many times as Christians, we get where that we make things a lot harder than they are. We make things a lot bigger than they are. We make things a lot more tedious than they need to be. And it's all our fault, because the Lord makes this stuff very, very simple. Very, very simple. And prayer is very, very simple. And I am as guilty as anybody else that I'm talking to tonight, because the Lord gave me this message first. He didn't run to y'all. So he came to me first and showed me how guilty I was, especially in the area of prayer, how that I tend to make this harder than it is. And since it's harder than it is, then all the other excuses fit in, and why you don't do it, and why maybe you're not getting answers to your prayer and those kind of things. In Psalm 43, you don't need to go there, Psalm 43:10, the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." Every once in a while, we just need to shut down for just a second. The Lord tells me to shut down and shut up. I don't know how he talks to you. But sometimes I just need to sit down and shut up, and know that he is God. And he has made the work that we have to do very, very simple. And we make it a lot harder than it is. So I just want to talk about the simplicity of prayer, okay? The first thing, that we're going to get basic on this, and I want you to bear with me. I want you to, you know, I'm talking to the cream of the crop. I'm talking to the Wednesday night Bible crowd that comes here and is willing to pray for these missionary cards we're going to pass out. And when Brother Park got up here and said, "I need you to pray for this and this," I know there was people actually writing that stuff down, and I know that it's going to get prayed for. So I'm preaching to the choir. But choir, we need to get things a little bit more simple, I think. The purpose of prayer is to get the thing asked for. Isn't that profound? You pray so that you'll get the thing that you ask for. If you're keeping this simple. Now, a lot of us pray for all kinds of different reasons. But if you know, it's as simple as this. A baby cries so that they will be fed. A baby cries so that they will be changed from a dirty diaper. And you know what? All they're doing is they're crying out to the person that they know that can help them for help, and they didn't need any training in that. It came absolutely natural. And so there's no reason that us as Christians can't, with ease, cry out to the God, to our Father, with the things that we need. It shouldn't be a big drawn-out process, and it shouldn't be real hard or real complicated. You know the things that you need, right? I'm not sure everybody has a needs list. And sometimes it gets intermingled with a want list. And that's okay, because the Bible says in Matthew 6, verse 8, that he knows the things that we need before we ask. Have you ever thought about that? He knows the things that we need before we ask. And I got to thinking about that this afternoon. I thought, wow, well, that's kind of strange. Then why do I need to pray? Because he knows the things that I need before I ask. You know, the one reason that we might ought to think about praying is because when you actually put yourself in the position where you're going to ask Him for these things, you actually acknowledge who He is. Okay, and in Revelation in chapter 3, it says that we live in a time where we think we have need of nothing. And God knows better. God knows better. There's things that we need. You know, my daughters, my first daughter, when she was very small, she got where she wanted, I think, orange juice or apple juice or whatever juice, she would tug on you and take you to the refrigerator, and she would go, And we would give her the juice. And then the next time she wanted it, she would go to the refrigerator and she'd go, And we'd give her the juice. And you know what? We finally, as dumb as we are, we figured out, you know what? If she's ever going to learn how to talk, we might ought to make her say the words. What a profound thing. We actually started telling her juice, and she actually learned how to say juice. Okay? And nowadays she has bad teeth. No, forget all of that. The point of the thing is, we need to learn. It's very simple. God knows what we need before we ask, but He wants us to say it. It acknowledges who He is, and it helps us. It helps us learn. It helps us grow, just like it helps your child when you make them do something. I can imagine it was very painful for me and my wife to actually sit there and watch the daughter try to figure out how to say juice instead of because always got what she wanted. And it was painful for us. I imagine it's painful for the Lord to know what you need and to see you sitting there saying everything but that. Does that make sense? It's very base, it's very simple, but I believe it's very needed. Here's another fact. Prayer is not a religious practice or emotion we go through or a ritual. Okay? You know, once again, Matthew 6, 1 through 6, you can read it. It talks about the Pharisees and how they pray to be heard of other men. And they pray for the show. They pray for a performance. Prayer is not a task that we do to prove that we are Christians. Okay, now it looks very ritual and very, it can appear to others when we show up for a Wednesday night prayer group meeting that I'm going to tell you, honestly, sometimes it can get very routine for me. You bunch of Pharisees looking at me like you're the only one. Shame on you. No, it can get very routine. You get a card. You know, we've got our own little group over here. We only let certain people in. You can apply for membership. And we sit over here, and so they get the cards, and I pray the prayer list that comes up, and it gets where it's very much a routine. And do you think that the Lord knows that? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You see, we pray, so the reason for prayer is so that we'll get what we ask for. The thing we need to get back to doing is praying in a way that God understands we need this stuff. You know, people that I have seen, you talk about, this is not a ritual or a thing that you go, but every one of you can name, if I say right now, do you know somebody that really prays well? A name came to your head. And truly, the reason when it came to my head is not because they're very good with words or they're very holy or they're a better Christian than I. I truly believe the reason that I think they pray well is because they're actually praying like they mean it. They're actually talking to God like, I really, truly want you to hear this. And I really want you to answer this. And they're not but using some people can pray well and use a bunch of flowery words. Other people just get right down to the nitty gritty and just say it the way they mean it. And I believe God honors that. So, number one, prayer the purpose of it is to get the thing that you ask for. Prayer is not a religious practice or ritual we go through. Judging others by the quality of their prayers. I believe the Lord has a whole different way of grading prayers than we do. Okay? And if you want to hear some good prayers, when folks go back to my office after an altar call on a Sunday, and they have tears in their eyes, and they feel the burden of sin that has just come off of them because Jesus Christ had died and paid for their sins, and they decided, I'll take that. And there is tears coming down their face, and you ask them, would you like to pray and receive Jesus Christ? Buddy, there's some sincere praying. And they don't, lots of them, they're timid. They don't know how to talk to God. And I just explained to them, you just ask Him for what you want. And He understands that. And that's the way, you know, we're Bible Believers Baptist Church, and we got a prayer, but we need to get back and make it simple, the simplicity of prayer. E.M. Bounds wrote a great book on prayer, and here's a quote. Prayer is the helpless and needy child crying to the compassion of the Father's heart and the bounty and power of the Father's hand. If we could just get there, where we understand that we are the helpless and needy child. Without Him, we are nothing. And that we are crying out to the compassion of His heart and the bounty and the power of His hand, which is endless. If we can get there when we go to the Lord in prayer, I believe we can truly improve our prayer life. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. And we're getting real close to finishing this up, folks. I want you to see something. Matthew chapter 7, and as soon as I get there. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 is a very, very familiar verse. It says, ask and ye shall be given. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The object of asking is to receive. It's not to be seen of others. When you pray to God, your intentions ought to be to get what you're praying for. And we ought to pray that way. The aim of seeking is to find. And the purpose of knocking is to arouse some attention and get in. That's how you get somebody to come to the door. You knock on the door, you get their attention, and your purpose is to get in the house. And that's the way we ought to look at prayer, because the blessed part about it is He promises us success. This is not a gamble. The odds are 100%. The Lord just said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, and it shall seek and knock and you know what I mean. It's a promise. Okay? I'm getting excited about it. Here's the deal. God tells you ask and you're going to receive, seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be open to you. It's guaranteed. Okay? When I was in junior high, I went every night to Maynick Chevrolet in Kingsville. And I sat there and slobbered over those new trucks. I wanted a new Chevrolet pickup truck. And I looked at them from every angle and I leaned on them and I'm surprised they didn't run me off. But every night I went there. And you know what? I wanted a Chevrolet truck. And you know what I did? I went to my father. And I said, Dad, I want a truck. And you know what he did? He said, I can help you with that. And I said, you can? He said, yes. He said, this is what you do. You go get a job. And then you earn the money. And then when you earn enough money, you buy the truck that you can afford. And I said, wow. And you know what he did? He actually helped me go find the job. Okay? And I got the job, and then he helped me go pick out the truck that I could afford. And you know what I did? By the end of the year, I was driving a brand new Chevrolet truck. See, God's not going to answer your prayer always exactly like you want it answered. But He is going to answer your prayer. My dad didn't buy me a truck, but he sure showed me how to get one. Okay? That's the point I wanted to make. And finally, the value of prayer. Okay? It's not in the length or the numbers. The value of prayer is that we are privileged by our relationship with God to unburden our desires and make our requests known to Him, not the specific answer. The value of prayer is not the specific answer. The value is that we are privileged by our relationship with God to unburden our desires and make our requests known to Him. That will change your prayer life. Because we go in just looking for the specific answers. And truly, the privilege is that we can go to Him at all. Okay? Give me three more minutes. Philippians chapter 1. I want you to get this. Philippians chapter 1, Paul is talking to the Philippi, talking to the church. And he says in verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Look at this. Always in every prayer of mine for you, making request with what? Joy. You know what one of the privileges and one of the values of prayer is? Joy. Joy. I don't know if Brett just got accepted into a medical program at Del Mar. And he asked Maureen and I to pray, and he's asked other people to pray. And I prayed for that. And I prayed for that because, just like I said, I wanted that to happen. And you know what? I found out today that he got it. You know what a joy it is to know I got a piece of that? It's a joy. Carol, Betty is like a bulldog. She's got Carol's name on those prayer lists every week for that cancer and salvation. And I've been praying for that. And Carol walked in here on Easter morning on Sunday, and Carol got saved. And you know how much joy I got because of that? I got a piece of that. You know, we promote missions and missions, giving out money for missionaries and get a piece. You can get a piece of some of this prayer stuff going on. Okay? It gives you joy. Philippians, you're in Philippians, go to 4. Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and what? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You not only get joy, you get peace. You get peace. I don't know about you, but every time that I have any kind of a stress or problem in my life, if I will remember to forget Google and go straight to God in prayer, there is a peace that comes with that. There's a peace and a calming that I cannot understand you, and that's why it says it passes all understanding. But you can get that, and it's simple. It's one of the values of prayer. And finally, Hebrews chapter 4. And I promise you this is finally. Hebrews chapter 4, you know the verse. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You not only get joy, you get peace, and the final value is mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. We have got the world's, the universe's, creation's largest bank full of mercy and grace. And your daddy has the keys to it. And all we have to do is go to him in prayer, and we get to access that. And that is a value. Prayer is value, and prayer is simple. It's very simple. Sometimes we make it a lot harder than it should be. Father, I thank you for the things that you showed me today about my prayer life. And I pray, Father, there's some things in here that through the work of the Spirit of God can work in each one of us to make us more appreciative of the privilege we have in prayer and more profitable in the things that we send up to you, Lord, as request. And Father, I surely thank you for all the answered prayer that we get to, on a daily basis, get to enjoy in this church. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.